Hello, and welcome to another episode of AUP Radio on WRP. Today we're going to hear one special episode of A World of Intimacy with Isabel and her guest, Otto. Enjoy the show. Alrighty, welcome one and all to The World of Intimacy. I'm your host, Isabel Armstrong. And we had a complaint that said, I've had no men on the show. And it's a valid complaint at that. And so to remedy that drought of men, I have a special guest today with me. I have Otto.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome on the show. But he's more than just a man. He also has some very good hot takes on love, sex, and more. So we're going to get into that today. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I feel a heavy burden being the first man. I feel like as if I'm representing the entire gender right now.
You are. We're going to even it out later. Okay. We're going to have some.
Hopefully.
Yeah. But for now, yeah, you have a big cross to bear.
I'm ready.
So, okay, good. So we've talked before about our views on things like porn and sex, but I was wondering if you want to just kick it off. What are your, I don't know, do you want to share some hot takes, some things you've been reflecting on lately, anything?
Well, so I listened to, I've listened to the podcast that before, and there was an interesting kind of general topic that you were discussing about, you know, kind of hookup culture and, you know, how young people are, you know, seeing each other and, you know, fucking today pretty much. We can swear on this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. It's encouraged.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that I find a bit, you know, interesting that if you look at, you know, I feel like I imagine people are fucking.
Right.
I'm fucking. You're fucking.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's the vibe.
That's the general vibe.
Everyone's saying they're fucking.
Absolutely. But if you actually look at statistics, we are fucking a lot less than even 10 years ago. Like I saw this one where I think it was like, I think 78% of teenagers were in America were virgins in 2008. But now it's like 90%.
Yeah.
Which is like kind of insane. And so, you know, it makes you wonder, like, kind of how is that happening? And so, you know, I've somewhat of a theory, or rather, you know, that it's I don't know. So it's a whole kind of system in which, you know, this hookup culture and this, you know, Tinder and all these apps pretty much have allowed for, you know, it's much easier to date people. And so one would think that, okay, if it's easier, then more people should be fucking. But what it's only doing is that you pretty much get to see everyone who's possible.
Right.
It's not just the people who you're closest to. You get to see literally everybody that's possible in the sexual marketplace. And then, so that means you see the top, you know, 10%.
Yeah.
And so obviously, naturally, people would want, you know, the best.
Of course.
And so what's been happening is that everyone's going for the most attractive people, but, you know, in the sexual marketplace, who has the power in terms of picking mates?
Right.
Women.
Interesting. Oh, yeah, that's true.
In terms of picking, you know, I could, you know, if let's say we're at a dinner, right?
Yeah.
It would be much easier for you to come up to me and be like, hey, I want to fuck. And more likely, you know, a guy would be rather than if I just came up to you on the street and said that.
That's very true.
So if there's this, you know, just the power imbalance in terms of the courtship,
Yeah,
then naturally, women are, you know, are more interested in and more open to the idea of right. the more attractive men.
Of course.
And then the uglier men, you know, for lack of a better term,
right.
you know, they're also interested, but the women only want, you know, want
men.
The attractive
right.
men. So what we have here kind of happening is that it's only a very, and you know, this is, you know, I don't even know whose name to say, but you know, there's
yeah.
some
yeah.
fucking, you know, stupid men's rights motherfuckers.
Yeah.
are basically saying the same thing.
Well, yeah, yeah, because I've heard the whole, that, I mean, that's been like touted in incel forums too, this idea
yeah,
of like,
yeah.
we are misaligned in terms of like it was like in theory, the fives should be going for the five and the sixes
yeah.
should be going for the sixes, but instead it's now all skewed.
Mm-hmm.
But that does make sense because I mean, I think about it like even 50 years ago, okay, you're in a small town in Mississippi. There's maybe three like really attractive people in
yeah.
your small town, and those are the only hot people you're seeing besides Marilyn Monroe and whatever other, you know, porno magazine your dad has, and that's the only hot people you've ever seen in your life. Whereas now, if you're on TikTok, if you're on the internet in any kind of way, I mean, you're seeing, not only are you seeing the most attractive people from Dubai to Kansas to New York, you're also seeing people who are edited and who don't even look,
mm-hmm.
who aren't even real.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think maybe our expectations of what
yeah.
we deserve is skewed, you think?
Absolutely. The expectations, and also, you know, I guess it depends on how you look at it. But, you know, with sexual liberation
mm-hmm.
for people
mm-hmm.
as well, and like, I would say even though there's less fucking,
yeah.
I would say there's more promiscuity.
Yeah.
Being that, you know, I would say traditionally people would kind of have, you know, one partner, and like, you know, Jess was talking about this as well in like another podcast
yeah,
of like,
yeah.
you know, everyone's has to have a sneaky link.
Yeah,
you know
everyone's
what I mean?
Have a sneaky link.
But you know, people are fucking a lot of people at,
mm-hmm.
at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So one, you know, that sure that might be devaluing sex,
mm-hmm.
but also that, you know, this less pressure and more promiscuity is making it so that, you know, those, you know, few men at the very, you know, top of attractiveness
right,
or whatever
right.
are able to, you know, but back in the day, maybe, you know, the not this 7, 8, 9, 10 would be with the 7, 8, 9, 10.
Right.
Right. But now, the 9 and the 10 are with the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You know what I mean? With
yeah,
everybody.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And so,
because they're only looking for one time sex.
Exactly.
So maybe they don't care if it's a one.
Exactly. They don't care if it's one. And then the other thing on top of that is that then, because, you know, obviously one wants to be with an attractive partner sexually.
Right, right.
And so the unfortunate thing for a lot of the women who aren't, you know, necessarily the most attractive in the world,
yeah.
they're getting this opportunity to, you know, hook up with these insanely attractive men. But then the problem with that is that, you know, they're not viewing them with some level of respect as like, oh, like, you know, this is a person I could have a relationship with. It's
yeah.
rather just, oh, this is someone that I'm going to fuck or I'm fucking.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
so then that kind of skews up for the woman their perception of
yeah.
one, relationships, and two, how men treat them, because they're not being treated with respect or any kind of, they're not getting any standard of how a man should act. And then also that, you know, adds two narratives, I would say, which are mostly true of, you know, men are shit,
yeah,
or men
yeah,
ain't
yeah.
shit, rather.
Because they have the opportunity
like,
to.
They have the opportunity
yeah.
to be, but, mm. you know, but that's the fact of the reality is that, you know, a lot of guys are fucking assholes.
Yeah.
Well, not most. I would say maybe most, but, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
a lot of them are, but then most women are experiencing those assholes.
Assholes. Yeah.
yeah.
That's so interesting. That's so interesting. And I think, yeah, well, and it reminds me of something that's been touted a lot of, like, because of things like online dating, I think we've never been so boiled down to physical attractiveness when it comes
mm-hmm.
to relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that our expectations are higher. And yeah, like, again, going back to this like small town example, I think like these hookups with these tens and these ones, whatever, it's so based in sex and not at all based in connection and like getting to know one another, that it's impossible to get past like very strict ideas of physical attractiveness.
Yeah.
And I think maybe like once upon a time, like I see what you're saying of like the fives should be with the fives or whatever, but I also think that it was maybe that once upon a time a seven, I'm like going straight into the insulting, but like a seven could date a four, and like they could fall in love
yeah,
and be so happy
absolutely.
Because they're like, it's beyond just physical attractiveness.
Yeah, 100%.
Whereas now it's like, if we're just having sex, either I'm fucking someone who I'm not really attracted to because it's just a one-time thing, or a sneaky link that is purely physical because we're only physically attracted to each other and it's not going to go anywhere in terms of emotional connection. Does that reign true?
I would say that definitely reigns true. But I would say that, you know, while this is what the outside world is like right now, in my opinion, I still feel like they're, you know, people still want, you know, humans naturally were pair bonding creatures. Right. Like we're one of the very few animals in the animal kingdom that actually seek a long term, you know, romantic sexual partner.
Yeah.
So like, you know, like there's often a narrative like, well, you know, like over 50% of people get divorced, like, you know,
yeah,
marriage is
yeah,
some,
yeah.
You know, farce,
yeah.
Which like, sure, maybe the institution of marriage is,
right.
But the idea that two humans can get together and be together
yeah.
is very, very true. And so I would say a lot of people still want that. Mm-hmm. I know I do.
Yeah.
You know, at some
yeah.
point, you know. Like, I'm not really out here just slinging my dick around, like, you know, fucking everything that anything that moves.
But did like, you hear that, ladies? There's one out there.
You know, like,
no, absolutely. And I think most, and this is what we talked about with Jess, right? I think most people engaging in hookup culture, and that's what I talked about with Isabel, too. It's this idea of, like, people are engaging in these, like, hookup cultures and these talking stages and these all of these very physical things. And they're wanting more, but they're not saying it. And so we're engaging in this, like, game of, like, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, we're like misaligned because we're not being honest with each other about what we really want.
I would say that's definitely very true. But I would say less so, at least in my personal opinion, less
yeah.
so we're not honest with that person in terms of we want more from them. It's rather we don't want more from them.
Oh, I see. We're settling.
So, you know, one thing that I admire about Jess is that she can go for, you know, months without sex, no problem.
Yeah.
Like, could I do that? I guess.
Yeah.
Do I want to? Fuck no.
No.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, there are those situations in which you somewhat, you know, not necessarily need to, but you would want to settle
right.
for a, you know, a sneaky link long term because you don't want to date that person or you haven't found someone that you do want to date.
I see. Okay, that makes sense. So yeah, there's maybe a fraction of the talking stages where it's like, I have feelings for you and you have feelings for me, but we're in the state of lacking vulnerability. But you're saying it's also a lot of, and I guess from the men's perspective here, but maybe from both actually, I think, but of this isn't someone I could date. This isn't someone I have feelings for, but we're now in an era where I get access to having sex with them in a way that I never used to.
Absolutely.
That is a very interesting point. Yeah, because I mean, even, I don't know, I grew up like in middle school watching sitcoms from the 90s, and there are pieces of like hookup culture mentioned there, but it was always in the world of dating. Like people would be like, oh, we went on a first date and then we hooked up and maybe we never saw each other again. And talking to like cousins and stuff and people who grew up in the 90s, it was the idea of like, there was still maybe casual sex in quotations, but you still had to kind of go through like the antics of like, let me take you out to dinner, let's talk for a while.
Would you say that's completely dead now?
I think it can be. I mean, with things like Grindr and things like, I mean, there are people who are like, let's meet up in seconds and having sex. And
that's
I do
true.
Have friends who go about it that intensely.
Yeah.
Or people who are meeting up at clubs, which maybe that was always the case. Maybe I'm like skewing the historical comparison here. But I think in general now you have the most access to,
just meet someone. Yeah.
Just meaningless sex.
Meaningless. Yeah. I would agree with that 100%.
That's so interesting. Yeah. And so what would you propose as a, like, do you think there needs to be a solution? Do you think we need to
government mandated girlfriends? No.
Line everyone up.
a solution to the imbalance or a solution?
Yeah. Or do you think, or maybe on a larger scale, we can't do anything government mandated.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I can't set up a dictator.
Joe Biden's America.
Exactly. But on an individual level, what would you suggest? People, like, does this need to be resolved? Or do you think this is just kind of...
I mean, it's going to be hard to resolve. You know, I mean, one thing which I personally don't subscribe to, but I know it would solve a lot of stuff for a lot of people, is religion.
Yeah.
And some kind of, traditional... traditional viewpoint on life, and I would say a more conservative view of sex.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's necessarily the best thing. I know I wouldn't want to do that.
Right.
But in terms of like, you know, like I think, you know, not in the most figurative way possible, I would say very much so God is dead, or at least in society.
In society,
100%. And I would say that, you know, I would say I mean, that's a much longer conversation, but I would say there's definitely a huge interplay with the loss of religious importance in, you know, at least Western society, and then the change of the sex landscape.
That's very true.
I would say there's a huge correlation there. But
well, and that makes me think, like, because I think there's benefits and there's pros and cons to a relationship with sex when you're very religious. Like, I think for me, having grown up Catholic, I do see that I have friends who are Christian who have much more, I guess, strict and, I don't know, solemn relationships with sex, and the idea of, like, I'm going to save it for marriage, or it needs to be meaningful, or things like that. And there's beauty in that, I think. It can be good for them, because I don't think they succumb to, like, the, I don't know, like very mindless, like, only seeking pleasure kind of game that a lot of us are playing. But what's not so good about it is sometimes it brings on shame, or, like, I think what a lot of, like, conservative Christianity does in America and in Europe and in a bunch of places in the world is you may, like, be saving yourself for marriage because you want the sex to be meaningful, but you're also, I think, often, like, ashamed of your body and ashamed of pleasure and not in touch with your body and mm-hmm. sexuality. So that's a weird balance there. I agree. I think a lot of people, like...
Well, you know, it's a give and take. And I would say, right. like, the ultimate silver lining, or at least the hope, would be that one, you know, because I would say that that mostly comes from the pressure. Like, this is somewhat of a tangent, but, like, there's this this French, I think, like, sociologist or philosopher who, you know, after the burqa ban happened here in mm-hmm. France, looked at, you know, he came up with an idea of three different kinds of women who would wear a burqa. One was the one who came from wherever she was from, and that's just what she did, and that's what she does. She, you know, she grew up always wearing one. Right. She will always wear one. Mm-hmm. Then there's the one who is wearing it because, you know, her father or her family is telling her to wear it when she's outside,
right.
You know, kind of forced upon. And then the third one is one of liberation, where the woman wants to wear it as a connection to God and to empower herself.
Yeah, modesty as liberation.
Modesty as liberation, exactly. And so I would say whilst religion many times does force these ideas and does make people insecure and not feel at home with their bodies or with their sexuality, I would say at the same time, like, you know, like the thing would be people would need to find the religion themselves rather than grow up in it or be forced
into
it.
Yeah, that's very true.
You know, but that's very hard to do on a grand scale as well.
On a grand, yeah. Very, yeah. Easier said than done, for sure.
You should believe in God because you want to.
There, it's said. Now go forth and... I give very doable advice here on the podcast, mm-hmm. you know, very achievable, mm-hmm. find yourself, mm-hmm. Be perfect,
find God.
Have a healthy relationship with sex and love your body. Super, super achievable for the average person. Yeah. but that's very interesting. So, but you were continuing on your point. So if we were to, it's hard to do, but a more, and what I often say on this podcast is a more mindful approach to sex, right?
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah.
You know, I think everyone should, you know, like, again, in terms, like, kind of tying this into, you know, what could we change?
Yeah.
Like, really, it's all stems from the individual level,
mm.
and then where that person, you know, gets information, I would say, and who they look up to.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm a bit of an anti-TikToker,
mm-hmm,
anti-social media guy.
Mm-hmm,
I mean, I dabble in my YouTubes, my Instagrams,
but
I have a general distaste for the current landscape.
Yeah.
And I would say that, you know, I mean, even though I have a biased point of view on this, I would say that, you know, TikTok and a lot of, you know, I mean, I think you would agree with this as well. Social media and, you know, a lot of different things right now that people are seeing are negatively influencing both their views on sex. And, you know, porn is a big one that we were talking about earlier, on sex and their body and their image and, you know, just all these kind of different topics, I would say, are being really negatively affected by, what's selling.
Yeah, oh,
which
absolutely.
Is all of that.
What's selling, and also I think, I mean, what these algorithms do is they find, like, they, I mean, whether it's the, you know, Pornhub, like, main page algorithm or TikTok or Instagram, they like, you start on the page and they don't know what your preferences are, so they're going to give you a little bit of everything. And then they look at what you first press on, right? So on porn, it's whatever weird random video you post or you look at, sorry. Or on Instagram, it's what kind of meme you click on first and keep looking at. And they're gonna track what it is you like, and they're gonna keep feeding that to you and keep feeding that to you, because I mean, they just want you to stay on so they can make money off you and get data. But what's interesting to me is that then they pull you into these very niche kind of like pockets that are all over the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And so you find yourself, if you're, you know, a young middle schooler on porn, you might end up in this like niche pocket of extreme fetishes on porn, or you might end up on extreme, you know, like the alt-right pipeline, or alternatively, whatever, random, you know, again, pockets and communities on Twitter. And I just think that the manipulation involved of getting mm-hmm. people to that point, I think then, like, it separates us from what we... I mean, it brings up questions for me of, like, what do you actually... On a sexual level, what are you actually into? What actually stimulates you? And on a more, like, philosophical or social-political standpoint, what do you actually believe? Or what have you just been kind of, you know, manipulated to yeah. engage in? Well, and that, you know...
Well, I mean, you know, with that exact idea, do you think that it's more, you know, for, you know... Figuratively, do you think it's more hand-holding or door-opening, these algorithms?
I think maybe it's it depends individual to individual. Mm-hmm. I think maybe it's opening a door, and then there's a hand inside that room.
Okay.
Possibly.
Yeah.
So I think
you
got to
take the first step.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely take the first step. I think we tell it where to go. Absolutely. It also depends how young you are, mm-hmm. right? Like, I think if you're 11 and engaging in these. It might be a little more hand-pulling because I'm so malleable at that age. If you're older, it starts to be more maybe door-opening. But yeah, no, and I've become quite anti-TikTok and social media as a whole. A hypocrite, as I'm still
on. Oh, you're on it?
I'm not on TikTok
anymore.
Okay,
and then I will not call you a hypocrite.
Okay.
That's the only one. That's the only one that I'm anti.
That's the only one where, yeah, no, that one's...
I would vote for Trump if he banned TikTok.
No, it is. It's so funny to me that everyone... We've made a meme of how we're being surveilled. And I think that's so yeah. funny. That we just, like, traded that in for... I mean, this is a huge tangent. But we just said, yeah, okay. But they're giving me exactly what I want to watch, so...
Yeah. Literally nobody cares. Like, that. Yeah. That's kind of the one, you know... And, like, this is a bit like doomsday prepper of me. But, like nobody cares really how... Like serious, I think. Like that, at least in my opinion, that TikTok problem is.
Yeah, yeah.
And like you know, the thing that I always cite is that in China, if you look at like TikTok for you pages, it's like people doing impressive shit, like cool
right.
engineering stunts,
right,
cool
right.
acrobatic things,
yeah, yeah.
like educational or like stuff to be proud of.
Right.
But here, all that's on the for you is like dancing video. I mean, I don't have TikTok,
but it's like soft
dancing videos, soft porn, and like memes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So like, you know, that's curated. Like, yeah. Yes, the algorithms are, we decide what we go through. But at the same time, you know, at least I personally believe that the Chinese government
wow.
is literally altering what's on the algorithm depending whether it's in China or in the US and the West.
And I talk to people and we all feel dumber. Like people will be like,
that's
I can't make it through a movie. And it's true that if you have a large military or political opponent, if you make the average individual of that country so fucking dumb they can't make it through a movie,
mm-hmm.
Or as when I was in my deep TikTok addiction, I would make it through like an art house film that I used to, like art house films I used to like. And I was like, whew, wow. I made it through a 2-hour black and white movie today. I'm proud of myself. I stayed focused. Wow, look at me go. That's embarrassing. I mean, that's, yeah. And I think that gets into, I mean, going back to porn addiction and mindful sex, I think we're so distracted. Like, we're, I don't know, we're eating up media at such a fast pace that it just completely takes us away from, I think, ourselves.
Yeah.
You know?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. Yeah. With, like, I'm curious how much, I mean, like, there's always that, you know, those maps of Pornhub of, like, the most looked up thing in each
yeah.
country. I wonder
yeah.
what it is in China.
That's so interesting. We should look that up. And it's so interesting. The thing that always fascinates me is how political events affect what people are looking up. Like, mm-hmm. as soon as the Russia war came out, people were looking up, like, young preteen Ukrainian teenager.
Really?
Yeah, yes. like that's, you know what I mean? Like, our brains are so, or I always wonder, like, yeah, like, where are these things coming from?
I mean, the sources that I'm, I mean, I don't
yeah,
know how
these
accurate
are, yeah,
these
we don't,
are,
okay.
But they're saying
warning.
Japanese.
Oh, that's so
interesting. That's the main lookup from both
Jesus.
Japan and most of Southeast Asia and Korea.
Wow, that's like the sexualization
of your oppressor.
Yeah.
I mean, I can fully connect to this because I am not anti-Nazi. I very much am, like if I see a video, I'll definitely click on it of some Nazi play, 100%. As a Jew.
That's so funny. Do you?
it's up there.
That's so funny. I wonder what the psychology of that is. Oh yeah, I'm always like a weird theory of mine is like to solve like the step brother step sibling whole thing. Is that like is that divorce high divorce rates in our childhood? Like why is our generation and the one above us so obsessed or weird? Like we're not, but why is that the platform so filled with? And I think it's possibly just that's a really easy taboo to play with. But I don't. It's very strange to me.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about this somewhat earlier, and you know, of like maybe a lot of you know, because like there is the literal law where you can't have actual incest porn, like
right,
it
right.
has to be step.
Right.
So the question you know that arises like, are people interested like in actually fucking their siblings in some Freudian thing?
Yeah.
Or like, is it just an easy narrative to like act out like for a porn video? And like that's one thing that I would say a lot of people don't really put, you know, when talking about porn, putting much light to is the actual art of it. Like maybe the physical aspect, but not the acting aspect. And no one ever talks about that except to make fun of it.
Yeah,
but like, you know, I feel like. Like, you know, who's doing porn acting classes?
No, and I think they need to make them better because... but that's... Well, and that's why now you have... I mean, I've seen documentaries of people saying, like, oh, I'm an ethical porn producer. And they put a lot of time and effort into making it seem real and making the, you know, settings very beautiful and, like, making it a more, you know, selling... the scene more because it's true that like the average porn on Pornhub it's derivative of like the weird swanky 70s like corny music, two lines of intro, and this just like I think that yeah that gets into larger things of like people have different sexual like maps of what makes them like horny, and I mm-hmm. think some people are into like the literal sex act as something that like turns mm-hmm. them on, and other people need
a lot more stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So I think porn ends up in the hands of people who are turned on by just like the physical act. And that's what most porn is there not a lot of acting or intro or anything
yeah.
like that. It's
yeah.
just the physical act. Yeah.
I would agree.
We've gone all over, but I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
That's why I don't want to stray off too much on like
yeah.
China or
yeah.
this random shit.
No, it's fine.
This is a pop about sex and love.
Yes. Bring a man on, and all of a sudden, you're talking about China.
Talking about China.
No, but we're in a weird place.
Stay tuned for World of Intimacy. You are listening to WRP. Thank you. We are back with World of Intimacy.
Any other hot takes?
Well, I mean, one thing that I guess I wanted to add on
to
what I said a bit earlier is that I would say generally that this dynamic, particularly of, you know, the few men,
right,
you know, kind of having a plethora of women on option, is weirdly not real, even though, like, there's the terms that, like fuckboys and, like, you know, all these
players.
Like, we understand this concept.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, the thing that kind of surprises me is why no one's changing it.
Yeah.
Like I see this so often where, like, a girl will, you know, shit talk some guy, oh, he's a player, oh, he's a fuckboy, fuck him, whatever. But then go back and have sex with him again, or keep going after guys who are exactly like that.
Yeah.
And like a big, or like, you know, complain about, you know, the way men are, these few men are, but then keep going back to these kinds of men. And it's like, you know, they're complaining about no intimacy. They're complaining about that they don't feel legitimately wanted, or that, you know, whatever problem it may be, whatever qualm can very much so be solved by, like, it's like those are just, like, I would say symptoms of those people that they're seeing. And they can very much so be solved by them, you know, seeing someone who's not in that upper echelon.
Yeah. Of you're saying that they're rewarding those few.
They're rewarding
men.
Them, and they're not being stern enough about stopping.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
You know, and like, you know, when you know, I would say sex is one of the biggest drivers in history.
Mm.
Like, I would say up there with like economics. You
know,
I'm a Marxist sexist.
That's going on a shirt for that.
But like, you know, so I understand why a lot of you know, people, and particularly women, will keep going back to these kinds of men because they are, you know, the most attractive. Like, you know, I'm not going to blame you.
I mean, because I've talked to a couple of women in the last few days who have been going through this exact same thing, and I think sometimes it feels like they are giving these men sex in return for the hope that there will be intimacy and that they will get that intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And then it does, you know, and so that, because that's what we're talking about with like the meaningless sex thing. Like, we're in a weird twilight gray area where people will have like quote unquote meaningless sex, but then they might like cuddle after and like things will be said.
Yeah.
And I think that like,
pillow talk.
Yeah, pillow talk. Dangerous pillow talk. And that gets, like, I completely agree with what you're saying, but I would push back that I think it would be easier for these women to say, you know what, we're putting a tariff on these men.
A pussy tariff?
Yeah, exactly. and no more succumbing to this shit. If all of these, you know, so-called players, bad boys, whatever, we're purely like, I'm coming in, I want sex with all of these various women, and I'm going to get it, and then I'm going to dip. But a lot of these, again, very attractive player men sometimes walk the line and will sometimes...
Oh, and I'll tell you exactly why. Because we won't get the sex unless we
exactly,
walk the line.
Exactly.
It you know, it's very, you know, player in the most literal sense
of
the word, that they're literally playing women.
Yeah.
You know, and
wow.
And I would definitely say, you know, not to expose myself a little bit, but I've definitely done this before.
Yeah.
In which, you know, I've been interested in a woman, not insanely so, but you know, a decent amount.
Yeah.
And I'll maybe overplay my emotional, or at least how I represent my emotional connection with her in order to make her feel happier, make her feel more invested. I mean, so I guess it's a bit different than how I'm envisioning that most men do it. But like, but no, there's definitely an overplay of emotion and an overindulgence of whatever a woman may want. And I'm speaking from a very heteronormative point of view here.
Like, this is a show where a lesbian sits with straight people and like assesses.
Has
the
it
fucking,
all been straight people?
Yeah. It's just I just sit with straight people and I'm like, what the fuck are
Such
you guys doing?
Such an undiverse show.
Yeah.
First only straight people and now one guy.
I know. I have to. Yeah. Come Eventually, on. I'll bring on another dyke and we'll just be like, what the fuck is going on here? But for now, I'm observing you guys. No, but continue.
Like.
Yeah, no. So you're, it's like a trade. It's a trade.
It is a trade,
but it's not.
But it's
an
bad.
Honest
it's a.
Trade.
It's not an honest trade at all. It's bad faith. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, that's so true. And well, and that reminds me of this idea of like, because we've and I don't know how true that is. I mean, we're in a weird place with understanding women's sexuality. Like, do women actually want sex that much less than men on a biological level? Like, maybe, but it's also just that. I mean, that gets into larger things of like.
I would think it's personally 50-50.
I think
people want sex just as much.
Exactly. I just think that also a lot of times the sex isn't as. Well, anyway, that's it. Like, we're not.
Women have a lot more bad experiences with sex to where it would make them be a bit more weary when trying to engage with
exactly. I think if sex education was done correctly and women were coming every time they were having sex, this whole thing would be very different because they wouldn't be. Like, I think a lot of my female friends, they're like, yeah, the sex was terrible. He lasted 30 seconds. It's not that good. But I – direct quote. But it's about intimacy, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, they've, I guess, trained – like, they've just turned their perception to, like, well, I'm not looking for that anymore because I don't think I'm going to get it. I'm just looking for intimacy. Whereas men, because they are getting sexual satisfaction, that is what they're looking for primarily.
Yeah, guys just want a coom.
Yeah.
You know? like what I always say is jerk off before you buy a house.
Right.
To know if that's really what you want to do.
You're just backed up. Yeah. No, that's funny. And so I think it's, yeah, as you said, it's a bad faith trade because, I think women hold this thing that men want. They mm-hmm. hold, okay, sex, right? And so mm-hmm. men are like, oh, the way I open that box is by being nice to you and getting you to be.
Yeah, they'll do whatever they can to open that box.
Yeah, feeling
does
emotionally
not matter.
Safe.
They'll cheat. Well, not literally cheat, but you know they'll find a cheat to open that box. 100%.
That's so funny. We were like, oh, we shit on men too much on this podcast. That's why we need to bring on a man. And then it ended up like, no, we're you're going deeper in on that. Yeah, no, that's so interesting.
No, but you know, I think men definitely do need to be shit on.
Yeah.
But I would say the problem with the shitting on men thing is that the ones who need to hear it don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
But then the ones who do hear it are the ones who one are most affected by this imbalance, so they're not getting any,
right,
and they
right.
feel, and you know, this I would say is like, I would honestly credit the you know, the general fuck men idea when you apply that to the to like the this like landscape that I've presented.
Right.
That's how you get like misogyny. Is there where there are these guys who are like, okay, none of these women want to fuck me, but they're all talking shit about me and saying I'm an asshole and they're not even giving me a chance. So fuck them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I think that's kind of part of the problem with like, you know, all these like men influencer, like what, fucking Andrew Tate.
And
like,
right.
You know, all these kinds of people.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's very true. Because the ones who need to hear it are getting what they want anyway.
Yeah, they don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And the annoying part is that even the ones who are, you know, again, the ones who are talking shit about men,
right.
they're still going back to fuck those exact same guys.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's unfortunate. Then you get into larger things of like, I think, yeah, no, it's interesting. I'm contemplating that. I think, yeah, because being told that you're shit before you've ever even had a chance to prove that you're not, then makes you kind of, fills you with contempt, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
And I think that there is, and this is where I always say that, like, in a lot of these hookup scenarios, men and women are coming to each other with so much baggage already, and they're, like, placing it on to each other,
mm-hmm.
right? Either because of past traumas or because of what they've heard of how the other should be.
You are listening to AUP Radio on WRP.
I mean, is this your government-mandated incel harems? Like, the women should give the sweet, ugly guy. Give the nice guy a chance.
Because I think my
fear response to that is, how do you intervene? Like, what happens when the quote-unquote bottom rung, I'm a nice guy, flips fedora guy? Okay. What happens when he's already, you know, okay, red pilled or whatever? What happens mm-hmm. when he's already in the dark?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you're like, okay, well, women have to stop giving these, like, hot, like bad guys a chance mm-hmm. and give the nice guy a chance. Mm-hmm. But what happens when the nice guy is already watching Andrew Tate and already a misogynist? And so now he is in a mindset where he's going to harm the woman just as much as the good guy.
Absolutely.
What happens then? Like, how can we?
So, you know, it's not just a women need to act different problem. It's also a men need to act different problem. And like a lot of people need to clean up after themselves, yeah. like literally, like, you know, like a lot of guys are just, you know, sitting, like most of these people who, you know, do, I guess, legitimate misogynists are, you know, just like, you know, playing video games in their, you know, watching Twitch yeah. or, you know, some yeah. random shit. Yeah. And like, I mean, sure, I might do that a bit. Right. But like, you know, but there is a serious, like, There's not a legitimate effort to play the game. Like, right. the game's always going to be unfair, right? Like, that's never, like, there's always going to be an imbalance yeah. in the scales, but you got to try and play the game. You can't just sit on your ass and then be like, okay, women come to me. You
right.
should want me. I should get a government mandated girlfriend. Like, obviously fucking not.
Yeah.
You know, you got to get out there. You got to, you know, I don't know, cut your fucking hair, put on cologne, dress, you know, like, just do something.
Yeah.
You know, because
yeah,
like at the end of the day, really almost any guy, like if it's just about purely sex, pretty much any guy can get laid, not through, you know, hookers or anything like that. I think like if any guy wants to compel themselves and actually try, you know, legitimately try, that they could do it.
Oh, and I say that all the time. I mean, if a guy dressed the way that I dress, just grow your hair out a little bit longer, yeah. get one ear pierced and wear baggy pants. It's, I mean, I think the standards are lower. Mm-hmm. And so I think within that, that's also, I think, yeah, no, it's definitely true. I think it's try a little harder. And also I think, I mean, what the sad thing about the whole misogyny thing is, and even the fuck men thing is, you can hate, you can be a heterosexual man and hate women all you want. You can be a straight woman and hate men all you want.
At the end of the day.
You're attracted to one another and you're gonna end up together.
Yeah.
So for your own sake, make it work. I think like it's because I can say I hate men all I want, but I do not have to interact with men if I don't want to, and I can right. So it's completely different.
You're very lucky in that.
I'm very lucky. Yeah, I thank God every day. No, but it's true, and so that's the very strange thing about misogyny, especially right. You can hate a woman so much and still want to fuck her.
And then I would say like a whole other layer on top of this is like the trad wife.
Yeah.
You know about the.
Yeah.
And like, you know, how these guys who aren't making any effort, like, you know, again, expect for this gorgeous woman who only wants to bear their children and cook them food and make them sandwiches and go to live on a farm with them. You know, it's like, come on, like, come back to reality.
And the other side of that is like this whole, the like obsession with like, all women are gold diggers. I find that so funny because, yeah, I just, men will be the first to like buy a drink for a woman at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And their entire intent is I am buying you this drink so you have sex with me. But as we said, it's an unfair trade because they're not explicitly saying like, here is this mojito, you will have sex with me. And so
yeah, it's saying, will you please?
Yeah, exactly. So they're just buying the mojito, handing it over.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you did that yourself. And so the woman is going to walk away with the mojito and be like, ha, fuck him. Like, you know, the city girls were out here using men. And now you're like, you think, so I don't know. It's this whole thing of like, you created the gold digger. And now in the modern era.
Did we? Let's unpack this. We'll go into some more hot takes.
I was recently watching this documentary that shows like gender and sex norms across the world,
mm-hmm.
and it looked at Ghana. And in Ghana, when men are very rich, they tend to have a wife, a mistress, and a girlfriend. And what lucky them, right? And what tends to happen is because women in right now in the economy, they can't make enough money to survive on their own. And so they need these men to support them financially. Mm. And in return, they did interviews with these women and they said, oh yeah, so, well, he pays for my apartment and my food and everything. And they say, okay, and in return, oh, I can just never say no to having sex with him. I said, oh, okay, right. And so the way that it's set up is the women aren't capable of making enough money to survive on their own. So in turn, they're reliant on the men, which allows the men to have sexual power over them.
Mm.
And that's, I think, how society has been based for a long time.
I would absolutely agree. And the, like, one thing, like, I've I discovered this somewhat recently, and one of the biggest changes to Western society has been the introduction of women into the workplace.
Absolutely changed
and all
everything.
The ramifications of that, both sexually, in terms of the economy, in terms of, you know, society and, you know, family norms and all this stuff. Like that's a perfect example in Ghana, where like the actual, you know, women have not been sexually liberated. Well, not even sexually liberated. They're just not independent fiscally.
Right.
And then how that, you know, affects what they can do sexually.
Yeah. And so I think I think for a long time it was set up like that in America, women not having bank accounts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then all of a sudden, okay, women are allowed in the workforce. And so I think it's interesting when men want to complain now about women, quote unquote, using them for their money, which does happen. I mean, I listen to especially female, like pop songs written by women, or just like the general vibe on like TikTok from women. And like my friends will be like happy when they get free shots from men. Like that does exist. But I always just retout like, but who created that system and who profited off of that for so long? Because for a long time it was, yes, men pay for everything, but they get things in return. And mm-hmm. now we're just in a weird place where that's falling apart, kind of, and it's like we don't know where we want to be, and women are in the workforce and they're independent, but they're not men. So it's confusing, and that's like bringing up a lot of sentiments, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. However, mm-hmm. well, the thing that I will say is the whatever you want to call it, gold digger phenomena or whatever, is very much so real. And when I say that, I mean, and I have no hard feelings about this. This I fully understand. And if I was a woman, I would absolutely do the same. Just like pragmatically, if you want to live well, if you want to live fine, have a good family, you know, want to be well off, wouldn't you want someone who's economically sound? Like, you know, and I don't mean gold digger in the sense of like, oh, they have a, you know, like the old videos, like, oh, you have a Lamborghini? Can I ride in your Lamborghini? Nah, gold digger. Like, you know, like those classic videos. Like that's not really the gold digger phenomena. It's more so that naturally people want economic security within their partner.
Yeah.
And so, or even just a fun experience.
Right.
You know,
right.
Because I would say like, and I was shocked to experience when I first came here to Paris. I was very shocked to kind of experience that. Not that down the line of you know, wanting economic security.
Yeah.
No, but like, but you know, like I very much so saw women hang out with these absolute assholes.
Yeah,
and like I was so shocked. Like they, you know, they were like, oh, let's go to a strip club. Yeah, and then like, you know, would, you know, be talking shit after being mad about how the stripper like got, you know, perturbed when they tried to touch them. He's like, ah, like, you know, it's like she didn't let me, like what the fuck,
right?
You know, and it's those guys, these legitimate like pieces of shit,
right,
that then women will want to surround themselves with
for money.
But why?
Yeah,
it's definitely not because of who they are, or they make you feel good, or they make
right.
you laugh.
Right.
Definitely not. It's because of the experience or the opportunities that arise by hanging out with them,
yeah.
which I 100% get.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but, you know.
And I think that I see that happening, too. And I've witnessed it with my friend, my girlfriends going out. I think what I dislike is when men, again, the I think bad faith argument of like, all women are gold diggers. The same reason, like when men shit on OnlyFans, and it's like, yeah, maybe some women are being opportunistic, but you are
most aren't,
yeah,
as well.
Most aren't, but you are contributing to it.
Yeah,
100%. If you are either,
if you're going to pay for that, yeah, absolutely.
Then you're contributing, so you can't complain.
Yeah,
if you're, it's the same thing. Yeah, again, a lot of these things are like people complaining about things that they are in some way contributing to, right?
Yeah, but that's one thing that I'm always very intrigued about. Is who is doing the paying and complaining? Because like I would imagine, like at least in my mind, the same people who would be paying for OnlyFans,
yeah,
you know, these like fucking fat gamers, you know, sitting in their mom's
right,
base
right,
or whatever,
right,
you know, like
right.
I'm exaggerating that, but like I have a very distinct vision of who's paying for like OnlyFans and this shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's the exact same profile of the people who are complaining about this dynamic.
Exactly.
So I mean, I might just be completely wrong in my guess of the market of OnlyFans and like all that kind of content.
Yeah.
But like I don't know. I'm just perplexed by that.
No, I am too. Of this idea of Yeah, you're contributing to the very thing that you...
Hypocritical.
Hypocritical. Oh, my. We're all hypocrites, but, yeah, some worse than most. Well, this has all been very good.
We strayed very off the topic that you originally wanted to do. I don't think we barely addressed it.
What was the original...
The only one that I read was like... how does porn affect our sexual desires? We touched on that barely.
We covered a lot of other good things. Yeah. No, this is good. No, any last remarks for our viewers at home?
For our viewers at home, you know when you're getting played, and don't let it happen.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. So sometimes we contribute to our own worst nightmares. Maybe that's.
I mean, you know, we facilitate that. Yeah, we all do. Yeah, you know, yeah. I personally believe that, you know, we pretty much create every psychological problem. Well, not create, but you know, you can solve your problems.
That's
everybody,
a hot take. That's
most people can solve their shit. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes it's very fucking hard. Almost near impossible. But
there is
the
possibility to do. Yeah. One, I would also think, to quote a very, very cringy and corny movie, we do accept the love we think we deserve. And so I think
I actually don't know that reference.
What is it? The one with the little boy and he...
The little boy one.
Perks of Being a Wallflower. That's the one.
Oh, the little boy?
He's like younger than his friends.
I guess.
Anyway.
That's not Ezra Miller.
He's in that movie.
That's a wild character arc. Talk about having a man on the show. Wait, aren't they non-binary now?
Ezra Miller?
Ezra?
Ezra Miller, I will respect their pronouns, but they are fucking crazy on other levels.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a lovely day. And, you know, don't let the asshole men, you know, use you. All right. Have a good day.
You are listening to AUP Radio on WRP.